Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age?
All right, welcome back to another edition of the Baltimore Beatdown Podcast. It is Monday night, January 16th, 2023. My name is Jake Luke, and I'm joined on my screen by Spencer Nathaniel Schultz. How's it going, pal?
Well, it was a heartbreaking defeat for the Baltimore Ravens. They fall 24-17 to the Cincinnati Bengals in a tragic fashion. Probably the third most heartbreaking defeat in terms of a really bad play, in terms of that kind of dagger into your heart on one individual bad instance. I would say Billy Cundiff, probably number one. Back in 2012, the 2011 year. Number two being, in my mind, probably the Troy Polamalu pick six in the AFC Championship. And in this instance, it is a 98-yard scoop and score off of a failed QB sneak. Tyler Huntley lunging at the goal line, falls, an arm length short, and Logan Wilson pops the ball out. Sam Hubbard takes it back and just crushes the soul of a really good performance and a team that fought and clawed and scrapped and felt well coached and ready for the moment. And with all of the kind of distractions that have been circling around, this team fucking performed for the most part. But it was definitely a heartbreaker. But for me personally, as a fan, I'm especially, I guess, considering that I did go to the game. I traveled to Skyline Town itself, and for them not to get embarrassed against a team that a lot of people thought would embarrass them and that did handle them a little bit better the week prior in week 18. I think there was a lot of good takeaways from this, but just rips your heart out and plucks every single string in one foul swoop on that fumble six there, because it felt like the Ravens had a really, really, really strong shot. Win probability probably going to go super high if you go up 24-17 there, the way your defense is playing. The fact that the Bengals are down both of their tackles at that point, and they're going to face a pretty uphill battle against the Buffalo Bills. But this playoffs, this playoff has been incredible game-wise. This is really the first kind of blowout we're seeing as we're recording right now, the Bucs and the Cowboys. So Ravens, break your heart, but it's, I don't know. There's a weird kind of solace you can take in knowing that, hey, they're probably going to go off to play the fucking Chiefs next week in Arrowhead. So maybe they didn't quite belong there, but they didn't care. They played hard, had really good performances from some unlikely players, and they rip your heart out. But I don't know, gotta pick up the pieces and continue on.
Yeah, I wanted that one to shut the Bengals up. I really didn't allow myself to get that sucked in until it looked like they were maybe getting close to finally being able to get it done. It did not happen. Overall, an admirable performance, like you hinted at there. Thought Tyler Huntley played really well, about as well as you could expect. He obviously made two critical mistakes, I think both of which led to points. The defense, I thought, played even better than you could have expected. I thought they really stood on their heads out there. Last week, You know, they played well too, but they were put in some tougher spots, and I think they weren't necessarily going as all out as they were in this game. So, yeah, defense goes out there and did what they did, only allowing 17 points total. The offense, I thought, did a really nice job themselves as well. But, it just felt like a fitting end for this team. Just played well enough to win, even when they maybe weren't expected to. They made some spectacular plays, but they also made some just completely boneheaded mistakes and just tripped over their own feet. And what a way to go out. It felt like a very fitting end that the lasting image of this season was Tyler Huntley being 0.6 inches away from the goal line there on the QB sneak and reach. And a lot of controversy around that call with Greg Roman. And then obviously John Harbaugh said that it was actually just supposed to be a push QB sneak. And Tyler
Huntley, Andrews lines up right behind him. It's like the number one. It's like kind of, I guess that's kind of a nice microcosm of some of the struggles of the Ravens season. It's like the trendy popular thing that works for every other fucking team. They have one person not do their job and jumps up and tries to reach. And, you know, my heart goes out to Tyler Huntley. He played the best game of his career, in my opinion. And that stupid part that has such a, like, that's not playing quarterback. That's just football. Like, that was just a football thing that happened, and he did something kind of on, hey, I can lunge over, I can get this. You know, I just got that little sprightly feeling and was like, I can jump right now and get it. I can be an athlete. And he couldn't, and gets the ball hit out. So feel really bad for the kid. Couldn't have asked for a better performance from him. Some of the throws he made, rolling his shoulder, hitting a double move to DeMarcus Robinson, Mark Andrews' back shoulder on an isolated ball. So, you know, just playing good football, gets that interception. That's what you were talking about a ton. You were like, I really want him to get a shitty thing out of the way, which, to be honest, I hated when you said that. I was like, please, no, don't put yourself behind the eight ball. But it was kind of spot on. You know, the jitters came out. He played pretty calm. He looked about as explosive an athlete as you can ask for. So, I mean, it's just as ironic. Like, you go look at the Eagles and all they do is just push quarterback sneak. They're like 39 of 41 or some shit. And the Ravens just can't quarterback sneak right and go do the normal thing. It's like the meme, like, why can't you be normal? And the kid in the backseat screaming. And I really, you know, whatever. Maybe this is Greg Roman's last game. Feels like it probably is. His contract's up. I don't see them renewing it. But it's just, I don't hate that call at all. Like, they were clearly calling for a touchdown. You're on the fucking 1.5-2 yard line, and you line Mark Andrews up to go shove him, and they just do something out of, you know, reaction as opposed to sticking to the plan a little bit, and it bites them for such a process oriented team. And it stinks because, again, despite all the distractions, it felt like they proved something to themselves in this game. And that win probably would have been a galvanizing blue chip, hang your hat on kind of game that would have really been a full circle for a lot of people, John Harbaugh probably the most. And man, you know, an arm length. It was an elbow. It was like an elbow. It was like two football lengths away. And just a nice way to sum up this season. They just had everything in front of them and tried to do the normal thing that everyone else is doing and just couldn't do it right. Like, for no reason. So it was a frustrating season in many ways, but I think that game, at least as a fan, you can look at it and be like, wow, you know, they played their fucking hearts out in that game and fought a really talented team, a divisional team that's supposed to be, you know, the beast of their division, and took them to the brink.
Yeah, no, it really was an admirable performance is kind of the word that I keep coming back to. And I do give them a lot of credit. It seemed like they had a chip on their shoulder. It seemed like as much as they were playing against the Bengals, I think they were also playing against some of the quote unquote distractions and things of that nature that, people were kind of hitting on, throughout the last couple of weeks, with Lamar Jackson specifically, but also it just felt like, can we go out there and win one of these games and just like prove it to ourselves that we can do it and like maybe call that a successful season? And like, God damn it, they got close, but they just couldn't get it done yet again. A brutal way to end it, but it felt very fitting. And like, I don't know, it sucks to say, but like, I'm kind of glad that it's over with this team, to be honest. Like, it was a pretty joyless season of football overall. I know that we like to appreciate the time that we get watching the sport, and I definitely did get some good moments out of the season, but it just felt like a cloud was hanging over this team from pretty early on, and it just never went away. And it sort of culminated in this this effort, which, like we've been hitting on here, was kind of a microcosm of things. Ultimately, you know, you've got and you've got sort of seams showing through a little bit at this point with J.K. Dobbins complaining to the media about only getting his 12 carries and never touching the ball in the red zone again after he scored that awesome touchdown early on. You know, you've got some other stuff getting out in the media about how the locker room is maybe not happy. So I don't know. For me, it's just, it's a good ending point, and let's just close the book on this thing and, you know, move forward into hopefully a, if nothing else, a little bit more of a lighter future, because things have just felt kind of heavy the last couple months.
Yeah, if you can feel that, you know, Harbaugh was exhausted by what's happened this season, and, you know, we don't want to make, we're going to have plenty of time to make this the Lamar Jackson show and talking about everything Lamar Jackson, as we always do, for the next however many months and weeks and all of that good shit. So with that in mind, again, you know, it's kind of a relief that, again, they can feel like they did it. They played the game. They bought into their process, and they were that close without their starting quarterback. And they did everything the quote-unquote Raven way in that game. They assaulted Joe Burrow, 4 sacks. Made him start getting the ball out quickly, got them limited, all those kinds of things. You know, Mark Andrews makes a big play. Tyler Huntley makes it. They had like a, what, 60 yards in 2 plays between in the fourth quarter leading up to that fumble, I think. It was a 25-yard Mark Andrews back shoulder, and then Tyler Huntley runs down to the 2-yard line, and you just feel good. But so many nice things from that game. I mean, the DeMarcus Robinson touchdown, Kyle Hamilton's hit stick on Hayden Hurst, who has just really, really filled in as a Baltimore villain nicely.
It's good. It's good to have that. I appreciate
exactly.
That.
There's that nice competition there. He makes a big play, kind of basically scores a touchdown. Then Kyle Hamilton comes up, rocks him. I'm going to post a clip in a minute here that I was trying to watch through my phone as I was traveling back, and Adafe Owe jumping up and down on the sideline after Hamilton forces that, and he starts spraying his water bottle like it's like a bottle of champagne at a club, like all over the sideline. So you could tell that there was joy in the game, in this game for them. And again, I think this is a nice, you know, hey, whatever, any given Sunday, maybe they can go beat the Chiefs, you know, whatever. But this was a nice close to this chapter, and I think that they can really hang their hat on that performance, knowing how close they were, feeling like after last year, the Bengals show up in the AFC North with Ja'Marr Chase and whatever they've got and their revamped defense and, you know, whoop everybody, lay it on them. They feel like they can absolutely play with the Bengals. They can absolutely win their division. They can absolutely do all these things in their process. And hey, maybe even if Lamar Jackson doesn't end up playing, you know, you feel like you still have the right process because of this game a little bit. So it's, you know, no moral victories, but hey, this is as close to one as you can get. I think that they did such a good job, and knowing what they have defensively, I mean, they're going to lose some guys. Sure. We'll see what happens with Calais Campbell, Justin Houston, Marcus Peters, Chuck Clark. But they're bringing back a monster defense and a defense that closed out this year so strong. It feels like Mike McDonald took his lumps early and got this shit rocking. I mean, 34 years old, and he's got a top 5 unit in points, sacks, takeaways, you know, you name it, yards, all of those things, any, however you want to spin it, DVOA, whatever, that unit is strong as hell. That's kind of the foundation of this franchise. And we've talked about it, and people think, you know, hey, it's not modern football, whatever you want to say about it, but it's endearing to me as a fan that they have a DNA like that, and there's something that's permanent throughout their time. Like defense, the Steelers, the Bears, the Patriots, like those teams somehow, the Bears not anymore, I guess, but we'll see if they can revamp it, but like those teams have defense in their DNA. They're always playing till the final blow, till the final whistle, making the playoffs, all those things. I enjoy that as a fan, and you can get into the logistics of, is it modern? Is it what wins today? All of that good stuff. Sure, I hear you. But to me, in my age and what I've grown up with, it's endearing, and I'm really happy to see it. And on the offensive side of the football, I think that you can take away so many good things from this era of, I guess, era to call it, of Ravens football. So many bad things as well, and so much that it feels like should be clear to them for how they want to move forward. And on that side of the ball, you have this awesome combination of being like a modern bully, but not being able to be balanced enough to go be a true dominant force. So I think they feel thirsty on that side of the ball to prove some things. And I feel like there's going to be a lot of changes, and that could be a lot of changes. So I don't know. Like you said, you know, good As shitty as it felt watching Sam Hubbard run and Mark Andrews, God bless his fucking heart, running down the field, almost hits 21 miles an hour at 260 pounds. You know, dude ran a 4.67, I think, and he's hitting fucking 21 miles an hour almost. Like, there's no more heart than Mark Andrews. So even within that absolute, you know, hanging from the ceiling, freaking death, you feel like, okay, there's a guy that you paid and he gives a shit and he made big plays and he was running as hard as he possibly could with every fiber of his being to go save that play. And that's kind of, you know, the theme of this game to me was Mark Andrews on that play. You know, they're going to go down fucking swinging. And I appreciate that. I appreciate John Harbaugh. You know, he's got his flaws. We all do, but it was a kind of a beautiful disaster in that sense.
Yeah, kind of a heartbreaking thing there, seeing Andrews get crumpled, you know, in the back or not in the back, whatever it was. I mean, talk about a guy who's just got golden retriever energy most of the time, but he just hasn't seemed to be himself in that regard the last couple of weeks, at least as
definitely not.
Yeah, at least as it's related to the media. And I mean, it's showed in his play a little bit. I think it's maybe resulted from his play a little bit with a drop off in production, but he had an awesome game last night. Made a couple nice plays down the field there. I think he had maybe one or two off script, and then some. He had one schemed up for him, and yeah, it was just really sucked, man, for Huntley to play as well as he did. Ultimately, kind of settle in after that interception. I mean, that thing about like getting off to a bad start, like that was kind of half of a bit, but I was also like, the guy's gonna make mistakes. Get him out of the way early and then just like settle in.
He settled in so well. Like the fumble over his head, Tyler Linderbaum snaps the ball over his head, picks the ball up, buys himself some space, gets his eyes up, gets the ball in throwing position and moves the chains. So, you know, that be mad about the goal line, all that stuff. But I mean, I think Tyler Huntley and someone that I've been a pretty heavy critic of him over the last couple months here, you know, of kind of doubting his ability, made himself some money. Looked the part, looked like a pro. I think he's going to be a long time backup at least. So based off this game, so he's got to feel devastated, but also like he can compete. He can go in there and do whatever needs to be done. So, you know, made big throw, had, I think, a 29 yarder to Mark Andrews as well. J.K. Dobbins rumbles in this one a little bit, and I get Dobbins' frustration. I get all of it. And it feels like, you know, with some of the stuff that's been floating around and, about the locker room and guys being unhappy, guys coming back from injury, all these things. I get it, but it's just like, no matter what happens, someone's fucking pissed off on the offense. Like, no matter what happens, oh, well, you lose to the Steelers and you should have gotten Gus Edwards the ball, but you gave J.K. Dobbins 17 carries. So we're not complaining about J.K. Dobbins not getting enough carries, but we're complaining about Gus Edwards not getting enough carries. And it's like in a game where Tyler Huntley was moving the ball, where the Bengals were selling out to try and stop the run. They were making plays. Tyler Huntley had a 74 QBR. Like, that was, I think it was like the fourth best this weekend. Like, he played well. And it's just someone's always fucking unhappy every single time. So that is the closing chapter of this year, this offense. And again, Greg Roman's contract is up. They don't have to fire him. It doesn't have to be some messy thing, but you can move on. I'm curious to see where they go in that direction. Again, we have all the time in the world to break those things down, but they did so many things right in this game. They sustained drives. They controlled the clock. I mean, I got through the defensive copy. The defensive copy was 34 minutes, and that is so much shorter than it usually is in any given NFL game. Like, the defense got off the field. The offense held the ball. Like, the Bengals were not controlling this game offensively at all whatsoever. They had a couple nice, you know, rhythmic 3-4 play series that led to a couple scores or whatever. But, you know, the Ravens have the right ideas. They have the right ideas. They just need refinement. And I feel good about this team moving forward. I know there is a lot of uncertainty and things that people are going to be up in arms about, mainly Lamar Jackson and, you know, whatever the hell happens with him. I think people at this point don't want him paid. I think a few more people than we ever would have thought don't, because of kind of this thing. And that's something we can get into later. But whatever happens, I feel pretty good about their direction. I feel pretty good about their message. I don't think it's stale. I don't think Harbaugh is stale. And I think this game was a testament to that, that they fucking got up and rose to the occasion and didn't embarrass themselves. They covered. They, you know, were in it until the brutal, brutal end. And another microcosm of the season, James Prochet being fucking inches away from catching a deflected Hail Mary to tie the game at the end of regulation. And just there were so many little ditties, little poems of this season riddled throughout that game.
Yeah, they played the hits. I mean, the James Prochet, it's just, it's like performance art at this point. Like, they just got to move on. Like, maybe he'll catch on somewhere else. Like, he seems like a nice young kid, a hard worker. You feel
bad
for him.
There's bad juju, and this is like a little Madden of us, but it's like, go get him elsewhere. Go give him a chance elsewhere.
Yeah, let's both.
It's just not working here.
It's not you, it's me. Let's just turn the fucking page and, like, just see if we, you know, see if they can find something else. And really, I mean, that's another thing. It's like the wide receiver thing. It's just like, figure it out this offseason, Eric. Like, come on now. It's time. Like, we thought we had it in 2021. Looked good, maybe at the expense of the offensive line, which wound up being your undoing in 2021. So it's maybe a little bit of a thing where you can't have it all. But it's just yet again, that thing just comes back and bites them in the rear end once again.
I mean, they actually Von Bolden into the Ring of Honor, and these problems won't happen.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's you need to do that. Funny enough, I mean, they had like a solid enough game. I thought, like,
DeMarcus Robinson made several big plays in this one. Not just that double move, but that double move. Like, that is if they win that game, that double move by DeMarcus Robinson cooking Eli Apple, who everyone despises, is an all timer. And for a guy that has had some struggles, some drops, some fumbles, whatever. The guy that we, you know, really liked that signing a little bit has rose to the occasion in that game. So many people rose to the occasion. So I don't know, man. You know, in the second, I'm looking through here. In the second quarter, the Ravens had a 17 play, 75 yard, 10 minute fucking drive in Cincinnati with a backup quarterback, score a touchdown, get the Bengals off the field in, I think, 2 minutes, get the ball back, drive down the field using timeouts, 2 minute drill. And kick a field goal. That was following the fumble. They didn't drive down the field really, but you know, they force a fumble, get off the field, and then kick a field goal. They have a 12 minute and 34 second quarter against the Cincinnati Bengals in Cincinnati with a backup quarterback. Like, again, just so many fucking things you can hang your hat on. So this team, man, I mean, Odafe Owe looked like he ran a 4-3 again, chased down Joe Burrow on the sideline. Is getting lined up inside. Feels like they kind of finally figured out in this iteration of this defense, maybe we line him up inside, let him work that way. Done it the last 2 weeks. Suddenly he's, you know, getting back-to-back weeks with a sack and looks like himself. So I don't know. I feel excited. I feel good. It's going to be a fun offseason. I'm excited for us to cover. I know you don't have a ton of energy today. We'll probably talk about this one a little more. But, in the coming days or whatever. But I feel like this team has, you know, depending on how things shake out, they don't have a ton of picks, but they've got some cap space. If things shake out one way, they might have a ton of draft capital. You know, they might have a ton of possibilities. It's going to be a fun offseason. And for that team to be able to go to Cabo, like Tyler Boyd said, after I think Marcus Peters played his ass off and, you know, has a big pass break up in the end zone, has a couple big hits, things like that, talking that talk that he always does. I think they can go to Cabo. I think they can sip on some pina coladas and some Mai Tais and relax a little bit, decompress. And I feel good about the direction of this team. Like, no matter what happens, you still have a nucleus of Marcus Williams, Kyle Hamilton, Marlon Humphrey, Roquan Smith. You still have Patrick Queen for another year. You have Tyus Bowser. You have Odafe Owe. It sounds like Justin Houston wants to come back. Maybe Calais Campbell. On the offensive side of the ball, you got guys like Stanley and Andrews and, you know, those two backs that you still have there. So, you know, your offensive line's in a very good place still. Everyone's locked up on the offensive line other than Ben Powers. And it feels like you already have the contingency there if he wants too much. So, you know, it's time to make those tweaks. And I think, this has to be your year one way or the other. Even if you end up with a rookie quarterback, even if you do end up paying Lamar Jackson $1 billion, whatever you do, this has to be a year where you don't have this hanging dark cloud over your head. And
get rid of the bad vibes, like, regardless of what happens. Like, and you want them to win double digit games every single year that you have Harbaugh. That kind of feels like the standard. That's not good enough for some people, and to an extent I understand it. But yeah, that feels like that's going to be the floor. But yeah, you got to get rid of this bad juju, bad vibes. And whether you sign Lamar or you move on to somebody else, it's time. Like, it just it's hung over this team for longer than a year. I mean, like, this whole contract thing has just been just endless drama, just stacking on top of each other, and it just culminated in this year, and it was just it's been a disaster. And it's you gotta find a way to expel that one way or the other. And it feels to me like, watching last night, you're making some good points. Like, it feels to me like they're closer to being a really great team than they are far away from that. Like, it feels like they have all the pieces necessary. You got to get better at wide receiver, as has been talked about ad nauseum. Maybe, you know, supplement some pieces that you're going to lose in the offseason with some of the defensive guys that are up for contract. But I think you're closer than you are farther away. And whether that's with a free agent quarterback, whether you trade for one, whether you draft one, whether you re-sign Jackson, it's like, I'm just glad that this contract thing seems to be coming to a head, because this, it really was like, and you know,
that's really the dark cloud probably.
Yeah. It feels like, you know what, that could have been avoided. And I think both parties I look at and I think, you know, why didn't you do this or that or the other? And just for whatever reason, they just couldn't get on the same page. And to me, that just kind of felt like, you know, that was really the defining thing of this season, as unfortunate as it is, because it has nothing to do with what's going on the field. I mean, maybe it did to an extent. Who knows? It feels like we're never really going to get that complete story, but I don't know, man. I'm just ready for that thing to be resolved one way or the other.
Most definitely. And again, you feel like the Ravens outcoached the Bengals, outcoached Zach Taylor in their place, and just come that fucking close. So I think it was a really bold swing. And what you have defensively to hang your hat on, to know that side of the ball is in such a good place and you can really dig your teeth in, grind your teeth on the offensive side of the ball. And it's time for honest conversations. What do you want to be? You know, obviously the Lamar Jackson piece is going to fall wherever it does. And that's going to be the first major domino. That's the giant domino falling that allows you. But whatever ends up happening, they really need to turn the eye of Sauron onto this offense. And their defense is so smart. It is a modern bully that plays at a too high, that does everything, that plays into, you know, what the game is. And the whole zigzag, zaggedy zig, ziggity zag, zag, zag stuff. What do you want that to be? They're still going to want to run the ball. They're still going to want to use play action. But how can you do that a little bit smarter? How can you make that a little bit more refined to get to a point where it feels like you're even more consistent? So, so much to get done on that side of the ball. And this draft season, this free agency period, all that stuff are going to be news every single day, probably, you know, rumors, this, that, the other, this team's calling, that team's calling, this is what the Ravens are saying about Lamar Jackson, blah, 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 blah. All of those kinds of things, but time to get it done. It's been since really Ronnie Stanley's injury in 2020, I'd say the offense has just been inconsistent, discombobulated, and unable to put together like a month or you know, a month and a half of good football. So sort all that shit out. Injuries now should be in the fucking absolute past, aside from basically Rashad Bateman. You don't have 15 guys coming off of IR and getting surgeries and all of those kinds of things. So those questions should be in the past. You know, there will be more guys that get hurt because, hey, that's this sport, but cooler heads should prevail in that sense. And I'm excited to see what this team can do. I'm excited to see what the next chapter it is. It feels like we're about to turn a page, and whether that's with or without Lamar Jackson, it's going to be the next era of Ravens football. And curious to see how this organization that holds themselves in such high regard and loves to stick their nose up a little bit and consider themselves the smartest guys in the room can evaluate their objective or abject failure on the offensive side of the football since they were so good in 2019 and really until Ronnie Stanley's injury in 2020. So curious, excited, you know, fun. Going to be fun content for us, fun listens, hopefully for you guys. Lots of possibilities and all of that good stuff. And we're going to get to continue the most fun topic that you can possibly cover, a quarterback contract controversy, as we are watching Dak Prescott, who had one of the most annoying ones of all time, and get to get in on that fun. So we'll be there for this. We'll be there for that. And draft season around the corner. So Ravens don't have a ton of picks. I would bet the mortgage that they end up picking more times than they currently have picks, as is their MO, but we shall see.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it is going to be an interesting offseason. I mean, we got to this era of Ravens football when, you know, 5-6 years ago, Steve Asciotti had an honest conversation with himself and said, I'm tired of the product that I'm seeing. I want to see this team play a more exciting brand of football. I want to get asses back in seats. And I think that worked for a little while, but ultimately, it seems like that element of things has maybe run its course a little bit. So whether you're completely returning the engine over or you're just kind of making some tweaks, you know, I think they'll be relatively major as well. It is time, to your point. I think they're turning a new page over. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. I think it is going to be a fun offseason, to your point, and I'm looking forward to it. But outside of that, I think we mostly covered it with this game tonight. Like we said, unfortunate that an effort like this was wasted on a loss, but you know, it was, you got to give these guys credit for battling their asses off. I personally give John.
I mean, they outgained the Bengals 364 to 234. Bengals averaged 2.8 yards on the ground. They hit Joe Burrow. Like all of these things they did in the game. In the last 15 years, there are two instances of a team in the playoffs rushing for 150 plus, outgaining their opponent by 100 yards total and losing. And it was the 2020 Bills divisional round loss and yesterday. So again, you're not smart enough. You go 1 for 4 in the red zone. That has been a major, major issue with this team throughout the season, is efficiency inside the red zone. I guess not really feeling like you have a plan to throw the damn ball into the end zone and not being able to be a true bully. And then you end up with guys like J.K. Dobbins frustrated. So again, just those little tweaks, just how can you figure it out in the red zone? You have a nice formula for gaining first downs every single year. So gotta be able to put the ball in the damn end zone and give that defense a little more breathing room, and they can probably anaconda squeeze some opponents.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, like I said, it's pretty much all I got on this game. We'll probably have more on it later in the week. And then obviously you've got the offseason ahead of us, as we mentioned there. So yeah, I mean, you had another little nugget there, but anything else on this game before we get going?
It was, I was there. I will say that Cincy is a prime spot to go watch a football game, a prime game day setup. They have a nice little, they have the Banks, it's called. I would highly recommend going to Cincinnati next year, or if they ever play them again in the playoffs. It was a pretty cool atmosphere. An area called the Banks that, I'm trying to think of the right way to put it, that would be universal for all listeners, but I can't. Basically, it's a gigantic stretch of bars with apartments above them that connect Great American to Paycor, formerly Paul Brown, and the streets are closed off. It is just a really easy, ideal setup. Got to go get myself some Skyline chili for the second time. Little Coney dog action was super delicious. So the Bengals are super excited, obviously, about Joe Burrow. They fucking love that guy to death up there. And I think he did actually play very well, but their game day experience was pretty fun, I would say. Definitely the stadium experience was all right. Got super loud in the intros there. They had heavy, heavy, heavy orange fireworks, which was fun. All that good stuff. Nobody really gave us a rough time or anything. There were no Ravens fans there. It was like a shockingly low amount of Ravens fans, which I'm just going to give myself a pat on the back. You know, I traveled 500 miles to see Tyler Huntley. So I did the damn thing. We had a lot of fun. Got to go to a nice steakhouse there where they have the Steak Burrow and the Collinsworth and all that good stuff. And since he was a very fun time. So I recommend if you're
to Urban Meyer's Steak and Chop House, or is that in Columbus?
I think that's in Columbus.
Okay.
Yeah, I went to Jeff Ruby's The Precinct, which was in an old police precinct, which was really cool. So fun time there. They have all the Bengals accoutrement, all that good stuff. So great town if you're looking for it's very affordable there, obviously. You know, it's Midwest. It's not, you know, New York or something. So if you're looking to go to an away game, I would highly recommend checking that out. The Banks, great time by the stadium there. Fun bars, fun scene, fun people, very nice people. And it was a good time, man. So it was obviously super devastating. I was in pretty utter disbelief. We go there and really the mindset was like, come on, please don't make this trip to go see a 40-14 game and watch the Bengals, you know, just waste the Ravens. So we were really having now a gentleman's ball throughout that game as the Ravens, you know, go into halftime with a 10-9 lead and come out in the third quarter looking pretty sharp. So it was a definite actual heartbreaker, and it felt like they were so damn close, and it would have been such a underdog win and, you know, an 8.5-point team winning outright against the big bad Bengals and all their cool pass game stuff. And then they ripped the hearts out, but treated well there, would highly recommend, and had a good time.
Yeah, I've been a few times. It's a nice walkable, kind of affordable Midwest city, to your point. I think it's well laid out, and haven't really done the game day experience, but I, you know, maybe someday. I think this is kind of developing into a little bit of a rivalry, so I'm excited to see where that goes. Where that goes in the next couple of years. It seems like these players really do not like each other, as Burrow alluded to a little bit on the broadcast. who's like, he's like the least of which of these guys that I hate. Like he annoys me, and I get the Joe Shiesty thing. I think he's kind of corny, but like, hey, you know,
is more like being a goober than I think anyone like leads on. And he's more like, I don't think he takes himself as seriously as like the fanboys do. I think he's like kind of like playing the white boy act pretty funny. But yeah, I like Joe Burrow. He had a good game. He played well. I'm going back to the defensive tape, and he really was sharp. And they're fucked, man. I mean, they have both their tackles out again. So, you know, I'm sure that the Bengals fans will be very realistic about that one, the same way the Ravens are about when they don't have wide receivers. So same year, different year, same problem.
Yep, definitely. But yeah, overall, glad you had a good time. And yeah. Ravens bow out of the postseason yet again. There will be takes. There will be roster construction, philosophy takes, and all that from all the usual suspects who we love. But for me, that's really not the conversation moving forward. It's really this quarterback contract situation. That is the story that we are going to be dealing with here in the coming few months. So we'll be around to cover that. But outside of that, it was, you know, like I said, it wasn't the most enjoyable season as a fan, but it's always enjoyable doing this podcast, spending time with you, and you're interacting with our great listeners. So we thank you guys for another fun regular season, and plenty more great stuff to come. So thanks yet again. And I guess that can go ahead and get us out of here. Follow the show on social media. If you're not already, you can find the show on Twitter at Podcast Beatdown. I am at Jake Luke. That's LOUQUE. Spencer's at Ravens 4 Dummies. That is the number 4 in the middle. Thanks again, guys. We'll talk to you later in the week with maybe a little bit more post-mortem stuff, and then I'm sure we'll get into some off-season strategy.
I've got a lot coming. I'm pumped up for this one. Many possibilities, many avenues, possibly some positions that we haven't looked at in a long time. Very, very, very fun stuff.
Feels like a new day is dawning, which, you know, if nothing else, that's going to be really fun for content. So we'll be around for that, just as we're sure you guys will be there with us. So thanks again. We'll talk to you again very soon.
See you.
Arrivederci.
Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age?